The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The General Banter Podcast with Colin Jettis.
Right about now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get yourself and your soul together.
This man will make your liver quiver. This man will make your bladder splatter. Let's all welcome the world's godfather of soul,
Colin Jettis.
It's Jettis, actually.
Jettis.
Jettis.
Jettis. Jettis. Jettis.
Fuck you. What's happening, people? Welcome to the General Banter Podcast with me, Colin Jettis. Is it echoey in here? Don't care. Don't even care. I'll tell you what date today is. It's the 9th of October. This podcast should have been out on the 6th of October. That's how shit I am at fucking podcasts this week. Why is it late? I hear you ask. And as I fucking move everything about this desk, I'll tell you why it's late, because I just couldn't get a fucking minute. Is that okay? And you're probably thinking, why didn't you make time, you silly bitch? What else are you doing? Nothing, really, but sometimes it's hard. You know what I mean? Sometimes you're just like, I'll do it now, and then the next minute you're like, oh, I have to go here, I have to do this, you know. I'm in Belfast all day meeting people, you know, should I record it then? Didn't get a minute. What am I going to do? Just pull the sound recorder out and be like, yeah, hi guys, can I get a fucking Americano there and I'm just going to sit in the corner and talk for fucking by myself in a Nero? Asshole. Just before I move on, I'm looking at a picture here. Which I posted on Facebook the other day, and it was a person wearing a t-shirt that says, I just want to drink coffee, create stuff, and sleep. And I put it up and said, I can't imagine what sort of wanktard would wear this. And in my head I was thinking, I know exactly what sort of dickhead would wear it. These sort of new age fucking, like, you know, it used to be like a really brave thing, I would imagine, a few years ago. You know, when you came out of school and you went to uni or something, you're like, you know, someone's like, what are you doing? And you're like, yeah, I'm doing, web design or something. People be like, what? Why are you not just doing, like, mechanical engineering or some sort of course like that? And, you know, all these designer, sort of creative, artsy folks who genuinely wanted to make a fucking career of doing something creative, it was probably at a time when it was difficult. Now it's like, and I've noticed whenever I went to uni, there was people who came in to do, I did design and communication, and there was people who were just there because it sounded good. They were like, oh, that sounds like it's easy, that's not politics and fucking history or something, I'll go and do that shit. So anyway, I post this photo of the t-shirt. I just want to drink coffee, create stuff, and sleep. Really, I could drink a coffee, create a shit in the toilet, and then go back to sleep. Like, I don't even know what that means. Oh. And then, Jerry McBride, who is a very funny comedian, he is also, as far as I know, one of the main writers for Waterford Whispers. I'm sure you've seen that bounding around the internet. Very successful, what would you call it, like a news parody website? Very, very funny man indeed. And then he wrote under it, he goes, I know exactly the type of person would wear that t-shirt, someone who creates absolutely nothing. And it's true. You could just imagine some cunt wearing that t-shirt, sitting in a Starbucks, you know, Instagramming their fucking flat white while they're trying to, like, you know, create an app on their Mac, which they're not even fucking using, whilst all the while on the dole. Then it must have pissed him, like, right off, because he private messages me going, that t-shirt, he's from Monaghan, I'm not even going to do the accent, he goes, that t-shirt really fucking annoyed me, the world is full of these pretentious cunts who think they create stuff, when in actual fact they do fuck all. Cunts on the dole scratching their hole all year, doing 4 or 5 gigs, and still put, and then in parentheses, works at stand-up comedy on their Facebook. I know, rightly, I've seen it happen. You know, works at stand-up comedy. No, you don't. I know you work in a call centre and you do some gigs. You know, and the gigs that you do all happen to be within walking distance of your house. That's handy, isn't it? You know? But moving on. That was just a little piece of ranty shite because I've seen it right in front of my face there. Today's the 9th of bloody... thing. I should have done this podcast on Tuesday where I was going to promote Lavery's and be like, guys, please come down, because I was having a pure panic attack after the last one, which was on Freshers Week. Probably my mistake. It happened to be pretty quiet. Still amazing. Still an amazing crowd. Chris Kent smashed the flaps off it. Still good crack. Didn't get to do that. Didn't get to report the podcast. Didn't get to report the podcast. Didn't get to fucking record the podcast in time, so I didn't get to promote it. Didn't have to, though, because it seemed to be one of the best fucking Lavery's I think we've ever done. I don't know. Don't know whether the people who attended felt like that, but as the person who's been booking the fucking thing and running it for a long time, it was great. It was great. You get the gig with... that's what I love about those Lavery's Day Fests. You get the gig with some of the people that you... You know, I'm not going to lie to you. I booked the people I wanted to sort of hang about with or watch. You know what I mean? Fucking everyone smashed it. Mickey was MCing. He was on fire as usual. Kieran Bartlett. You know, Niamh Maher and Tom O'Malley came up. Aaron McCann, the fucking boy wonder. Smashing the tits off it again. Tom O'Malley, I could listen to that cunt all day. Check if you can get him on... This is what's going to happen. Usually you say someone's name and someone Googles them, and the next minute you've got, like, some shitty clip on the internet that's 4 years old, and you go, it's not that funny. And you're going, yeah, it was on TV for 3 minutes. What can you do? You can't swear. You can't really say what you want. So it ends up being this washed out... I'm saying this like I've seen these clips. I haven't. But anyway. Yeah, cheers to everyone who came out from Lavery's. I was... in a strange condition, because that was the day we went up to Belfast. I went to jiu-jitsu after... Actually went the day before as well, but for the second fucking time in 2 days, having not done it for, like, 2 weeks due to other fucking things, which I'll talk about in a minute. Don't get me wrong. We've the rest of the hour here to fucking go off on one. You know what I'm saying? So I go do jiu-jitsu. I'm fucking wrecked. It's one of the reasons why today I can barely get in and out of a seat. You know what I mean? I feel like, oh, no, I've done jiu-jitsu for probably over a year now. I can just go back in. Nah, not really, mate. You should, if you have more than a week off, you should, like, really take it. Like, just going in, gonna warm up, do a wee bit of light rolling or whatever. Instead of just getting flat out killed. So I went to that, then I met up with fucking Kieran Bartlett and Woodsy in Nero, the coffee shop, where I had 2 coffees. All the while, I hadn't really eaten anything the whole fucking time. Ate in the morning, drank coffee with him till it was fucking buzzing. Rory Woods was away to do Queens that night. I must text him, find out how it went. You know, I was too busy, you know, run a very successful night at Lavery's, thanks. So how about that? Deal with that shit. And then I had to meet up with girlfriend Maureen, and then I was like, what am I, this is how dramatically my fucking diet and well-being goes downhill. It was like, gonna wake up, gonna have some fucking, I don't even know if it was muesli, it was like some, you know them like clustery fuck, cluster fucks, that's what they're called, isn't it? Do you want a fucking hazelnut and something fucking cluster fuck from, brought to you by Jordan's. Jordan's crusts. That's essentially what that Jordan's company do. What do? We put crusty shit together in bar form, or you can buy it in the box. So I had some of that shit. Went and did jiu-jitsu. Very all healthy. You know what I mean? Drinking loads of water. I'll have a coffee. Great stuff. Hadn't eaten all day. Didn't even feel overly starving. Just felt like I feel like I should eat because, you know, I have a gig coming up or whatever. And then all that, all day, exercising, not really eating that much. And this is what happened. Starving, you know what I mean? Like, nothing. Starving. Who else is eating? No one. I'm ringing a pizza. I ring the fucking 4-star thing where they bring you, like, the pizza, then the small garlic bread pizza, then the fucking chicken nugs and the wedges. And I'm like, someone else will eat this. No one did. I had about half the pizza, all the chicken. You know, felt like I was going to fall asleep. Then had to go to fucking Lavery's, where I then drank beer. And of course, this is what happens. You know, you eat like fucking half five o'clock, you know? You eat at 5:30, you go do your gig, you drink beer. We were going to go home after that, you know, back out to the sticks. And then we're like, nah, let's fucking stay up. So that turned into another fucking shit fest. Fucking steaming, drinking those pints out of Lavery's that are like the fancy pints that I actually slag off in my stand-up, and then I'll go downstairs and I'll drink away at them. You know? Give me the fucking raspberry and lemon ale, sir. No problem. Here, a guy fucking brewed it in his kitchen sink. Ladled it into this thing with a fucking moccasin. Enjoy it. Great. I can taste the leather. It's more of a strength thing for me. You know, you can just have fucking two of them. And you're fucked. How many did I have? Don't know. Plenty. And because we were drinking with the guy who's the entertainment manager at Lavery's, you know, you can stay there till they're literally sweeping up around your feet. Madness. All around pretty boring story. What I was getting to is, I ended up fucking sleeping on the floor because we had a crash over at girlfriend Maureen's sister's house. And I wake up like I've just been fucking banged in the ass by a rhino. My fucking, oh Jesus, my lower back is fucked. Hey man, when do you go do jiu-jitsu and then, you know, be cold all day and then go and do stand-up and drink a load of beer and then sleep on a floor? You know, where your back is just turned into a fucking 90-year-old woman's back all of a sudden. Good times. So yeah, This is the podcast this week. You're like, oh, it's late. Maybe he's got something interesting to say. Incorrect. I've just got more complaining to do. However, I would just like to say thanks to everyone who came out from Lavery's because it was fucking spectacular. What else has been happening? Here's another reason why the fucking podcast was late. I've been working on some videos for a local company called Fit Fodder. We're delving into the world of what I like to call, and what others like to call, branded content. Which is, if you know, if you watch something like, you know, what do you call it, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Jerry Seinfeld, it's like, here's Comedians in Cars getting Coffee, presented by Crackle. That's kind of what I'm doing with this company. They're literally like, Fit Fodder presents, and then I do some funny videos. You know? Win-win situation for everybody. So here's what happened to me. I go to film stuff for them. I've bought a separate mic. It's all getting very professional. I was like, I'm going to do this properly. I want to make them great quality. I get the thing. I plug it in. It doesn't, you know, I record it. I think it's working. I'm like, cool, I'll film tomorrow. Film for about 3 hours. Realize that it hasn't been recording. I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? And then the next, you know, I was honestly about to kill myself at that point. 3 hours. I know that's not a lot of work for most people. For me, that's a lifetime. I was like, I filmed for 3 hours there and fucked it all up. The next day, I have another go. I realize, oh, the reason that didn't record is because the jack wasn't clicking into the fucking sound recorder properly. Great. It's not going to work again. Go to film again the next day. I think I've solved it. No, that doesn't work. And by this point, I'd already told the guy. I was like acting the big balls. Yeah, mate, it'll be done. It'll be done about a week, mate. Don't even worry about it. Cut to me on my 9th attempt going, yeah, can I do one video for you instead of 8, mate? Is that okay? Jesus Christ, what a nightmare. And then by the weekend, I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to film one at a time, see how it goes. And of course, once the pressure was off, I was just like, I'll just do these. Sealed through them, mate. Fucking sealed through them. And they're like short videos, but they're pretty intricate. So I had to sit down on Sunday and edit them. So I was like, right, I'll do that. And then it just spilt over to the next day. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. For the total time of like 4 minutes work on screen, this has taken me a fucking lifetime. Nightmare. More boring stories from Colin. Oh, what other fucking boring shit did you do? Ah, fuck it. Don't know. Filmed loads. And do you know what? I gotta say, see, moving down to the country, like I'm sitting in this little office that we've converted here. And I'm literally like, I can smell shit. I can smell shit through the window. I swear to God, we drove from here to Belfast the other day, and it was like, does the whole world smell like shit today? Every fucking farmer must have went, that's, today's the day. You know, put 4 Weetabix in that bowl, because I'll be spreading shit till the fucking sun comes down today. They must do that. They must just wait, and it rains and rains and rains and rains, and then they just go, now, this is it. Now is the time. Get the truck full of shite that I've been collecting. Strange to think that, isn't it? That they actually have to collect shite all year. Ah, just collect all the shit. Then we go and squirt it all over the fields. And I bet you all the farmers have like a Facebook group, do they? Tommy, you putting the shit out today? Ack, I was going to, yeah, I may as well. Alright, no bother, I'll text the boys here. PM me for further shade details. What are you wearing when you put the shade out, Tom? Ach, I don't know now. Just my usual gear. Nice short sleeve check short. Some Adidas bottoms and a pair of wellies. You know? Completely fucking clattered with shade, and then I can still go into like a deli in a spa. You know, and people are like, ach, he's just a hard working man there. Covered in shite head to toe. I'll not say a word to him as he stands there buying, you know, fucking chicken stuff and sandwich. Unreal. I've got to tell you a thing I went to see last Friday. I'm not a very cultured man. However, sometimes I know people who are cultured and they're all like, hey, do you want to go to a play? And I'm like, yes. What is the play? They go, it's Laurel and Hardy. And I go, great. At least it's comedy based. I may enjoy myself. Who's in it? Hold the phone, guys. It's none other than Connor Begley, a.k.a. Begley, who I've been talking about for a while, who I've filmed with for the Late License TV show that's going to come out that they haven't even started fucking promoting yet, even though I mentioned to them that they might want to promote it so that it gets some fucking traction and might actually get remade. But of course not. It's the BBC. Oh, Colin, hope no one from the BBC listens to your podcast. They don't listen to fucking anything or watch anything. That's why there's programmes about them talking about, oh, here's a railway line that goes from Coleraine to fucking somewhere. Let's talk about it. Boring! So Begley, we go see his play. He's doing Laurel and Hardy. It was in Dungannon. It was Turnabout. We went to see it in Dungannon. And then it's in Armagh Marketplace Theatre. And then it's fucking somewhere else. I gotta say, fucking phenomenal. He plays Stan Laurel, the skinny one. And he's got his wee eyebrows up and all that shit. It's fucking, it was outstanding. And it's, because I'm a fucking retard, it took me a minute to catch on what was happening. They would be sort of reenacting some bits from actual sketches, and then they, and then Begley would subtly change his accent back to what Stan Laurel's real accent was like. And then they would be acting out some things that happened in the real life, and then it would go back into a sketch, and then it would get quite sad and whatever. It was fucking, it was unreal. The other fella, Brian, I think his name is, I can't remember his second name, unreal. They were both great. And there was a lady in the corner playing the piano, like, live with all the sketches. That was fucking great too. And it was pretty full house, which, and picture this, guys, this is my main, you know, you could go, you could go to that and experience it, and you could go, what a great time, it was lovely. And I come out of it and go, hold on a second, folks, right? It's a Saturday night, and I'm going to rat them out here. It's called, like, the Black, or the Square Box or something, and it's called, like, Ramfurly House, right? It's like a wee arts centre thing with a fucking theatre in it. Saturday night, the wee mini theatre, full of fucking people. No bar, no shop, no anything. Now, I don't know if they can even sell booze, but you're like, maybe if I'm here for fucking 2 hours, I might want to have a, buy a bottle of water. Can I get a tin of Coke? Do you want a cup of tea? You're like, do you really expect, what am I supposed to do, go in and fucking, you know, drink out of the fucking tap in the toilets? If I'm thirsty? What the fuck's going on here? You've a, first of all, are you fucking stupid? Because you could have made, you know, at least a, I'm sure everyone there who was like, is there any beer in here or wine? And they went, no, we don't actually have a license to sell alcohol. Well, then they probably, I would say, you know, 100 of the 120 people would go, oh, well, give us a fucking tin of Coke then or something. Or give us a coffee. You're like, you're actually losing out on money by just being fucking lazy. And then going, we're doing fundraisers for the theatre and, you know, we're getting government grant. That's another thing pisses me off about these places. They're like lottery funded. They're like, they do fuck all. I've done gigs in some place, you know, I've done gigs in Armagh Marketplace. I don't know what way they operate, but, you know, they're usually very helpful up front with promotion and stuff. But then you get there and, you know, if you were to pull a camera out, they would fucking jump on you. Like, you're not allowed to film in the theatre. Meanwhile, I've done gigs in there where it was completely ruined by a table full of fucking hooligans. Drinking and shouting and you're like, this is a theatre. And honestly, the heckle battle went on for fucking the whole gig. Ah, blah, blah, fucking whatever. And you're like, mate, shut the fuck up. Everyone's paid a tenner in here to see me. Fuck knows why. Can you fucking shut up? Meanwhile, a girl at the back's like, you know, I'm just on my phone here or something. And you're like, you'd have killed someone a minute ago had they pulled out a camera to, you know, take a photo of this shit. And these ones down here are like rowdy as fuck and you won't say a word to them. And it was beyond heckle response. You know, I've been heckled. But this was just an on, this was like, we happened to run a gig around these people's night out. A girl standing up, some big fat girl in heels. Hey, what do you have? Like, this loud. What do you have in Magners? Alright, and you're two, and two. Alright, how long? And she walks away like a fat fucking pony. Comes back. Unreal. But that's the thing, these places where it's like, yeah, we're sort of funded already, so we all get paid, so we're essentially not going to do fucking anything to promote or get involved with it. It's kind of like, we work here and we're guaranteed pay, so we don't really give a shit if there's 5 people turn up to your thing or 500. Doesn't make a difference to us, really. But if there was a guy standing there with a fucking multi-pack of Coke, I'd have been happy. If you're like, if there's people coming for a fucking night out, open the shop, bro. Give me a fucking cup of tea. You know, I was sitting there like, I've had this like half a fucking cold for about 2 weeks now. It might be fucking AIDS. You're sitting there going, what if you needed a drink? What if you're like coughing or something? You're like, oh, I'd love a wee drink. Nah. You have to walk out the doors, which lock behind you, and then come back in. Fucking useless. Aside from that, if you live anywhere near any of those theatres where you see that Laurel and Hardy thing, go see it, because it's very good, you know, aside from me just slagging it to death. Doing some angry Snapchats. Oh yeah, the big man's on Snapchat now. Slagged it off for months. But I'm 28 years old, and I was hitting that age where I was like, and do you ever, you know, like when you speak to a parent or something, and don't get me wrong, some people are very switched on and, you know, they use all the fucking shit that everyone else uses. But there are those parents, like my dad, who's just, he's just like, yeah, I just can't be arsed even keeping up with that shit anymore. Like, he has this BlackBerry fucking touchscreen thing. Like, one of the few BlackBerries that has no buttons on it. It's, like, all touchscreen. Clunky fucking piece of shit. And he's like, ah, nah, I was going to renew the contract, but then they take it down to, like, £12 a month. And I was like, right, okay, well, you should get a fucking iPhone, bro. And he goes, ah, I wouldn't know how to use it. And I'm like, it's actually easier to use than what you're using right now. I can know, but I just can't be arsed paying for it. And you're like, that's what I was like with Snapchat. I was like, that's the start of me going, ah, nah, it's a load of fucking shite. It is shite. I don't really see the point of it. I haven't seen one fucking tit pic. You know? Ah, it's great. You can send your pictures of your tits and dick and all. I haven't seen any. It's mainly just people walking around going, oh, I'm getting a frappuccino. Great. Maybe I'm not following interesting people. I don't know. I feel like I'm putting out more than I'm getting back, guys, is what I'm saying. If you want to fucking add me on Snapchat and I'll follow you back or something, you know, get them titties out. I'll get mine out, you get yours out. I've fucking set myself up there, haven't I? Haven't received one dick pic. Boom! Flooded with a fucking just swarm of dick. Do you know, like in 300 when they all pull the arrow back, right? Whoosh, and they let, like, that, like, it's just a fucking flock of arrows. That's all dicks. I don't know where I'm going with that. To be honest with you. But yeah, fucking add me on Snapchat there. In fact, it's how we're basically, you know, going to move forward with Lavery's Comedy Club. We're thinking of doing video blogs, whatever. I think just to give people a snippet of what it's like, Snapchat's going to be the sort of the way to do it. We're probably going to post a video to Facebook anyway. Cross-platform promotion. Eat my anus! Let me tell you something that I watched recently for two things. I watched Jurassic World last night, which was a bit cheese bags, but it was pretty fucking cool, I have to say. I enjoyed it. It was tense. Oh. I would also probably have sex with Chris Pratt. To be honest with you. What more do you want? Like, you know, that's fucking, that gives hope to a lot of, you know, you feel like saying something, mate, are you a bit goofy, but you're kind of funny, and you're like a big strapping lad? Why don't you just hit the fucking gym for about 6 months, and have a six pack, and get your fucking hair transplanted, and then be like, ha, tricked you girls, didn't I? Because I know who Chris Pratt's married to. Your woman out of fucking whatever she was in. And you're like, maybe before when he was a bit of a goofer and he was kind of fat, you're like, oh, well, you know, he's married a famous person. Fair play. And then turns out, oh, shit, he's talented as shit. He's funny. Oh, God, he's done some sit-ups. Now he's an absolute ride. And now he's like, oh, shit, could have read anyone. Fuck. And there wasn't even any hot girls in that film. You know, the hotness ratio was heavily in his favour. And all these other girls were just like, whatever, who gives a fuck. But that's basically how I break down most films, is how attractive the lead male is. It was alright. It wasn't alright. It was pretty fucking sweet, that film. And we were watching it in a living room. So I imagine in the cinema, it was absolutely enthralling. It smells like shit in here. It really does smell like shit. Oh, Jesus Christ. So seeing that, however, here's what I did see the other day. And I remember when I first seen the fucking trailer for it, I nearly shot my bolt in my pants. Mad Max. I remember seeing that going, oh, fuck. Hardy, killing it. Then I don't mind telling you this, guys, acquired it illegally. From someone. Let's call her Mr. Google. So, watch that shit. Wasn't into it. Here's Colin's fucking movie review for Mad Max. Lied? Or what, guys? Huh? Fucking lied? Lied as shit. I swear, like, two or three times. This is like the Snapchat thing. It's not me getting Snapchat was me going, please don't be old and like a grumpy old man yet. But I watched Mad Max, and two or three times I went to Maureen. Maureen, turn that down a bit. Which is the sure sign that you're getting old. I was like, oh, please, turn that. That's too. But that's all it fucking was. Tom Hardy doesn't even speak, and he's like, okay, yes. And the rest of it's just fucking. Just explosions and fucking. And you're like, what happened here? Oh, they drive here and then they drive back. We're great. What a load of shit. And don't get me wrong, looks amazing. And they shoot it in that fucking, what's it called? Overcranker? I don't know what the fuck they do. Where they shoot it and it's a bit jittery and fast. But Jesus Christ, I was like, what the fuck? I was like, that could have been 10 minutes long, or it could have been 3 hours long. And it wouldn't, the plot wouldn't have made, it was just more driving and explosions. And Tom Hardy stuck in a fucking, in a lorry with like fucking four supermodels. And you're like, mate, please lighten this up with a bit of fucking. Tell Lenny Kravitz's daughter to pull her titties out there and then bang that other girl. You know, you're Tom Hardy in a fucking lorry cab full of slice. Ugh. I'd be like, uh-oh, ran out of petrol, girls. Get them titties out. Those sweaty, haven't had a shower in the desert forever because there's no water titties. Huh? Great. I am a full-scale pig. So, I don't know, Mad Max. Don't get me to review it because this movie reviews should come from people who are genuine fans of that particular genre. So, like, there's no point in asking me, Colin, what would you give Star Wars out of 10? Because I'm not even going to watch it. Do you know what I'm saying? I feel like it's too much time has passed. I'm not going to turn around and be like, oh, I'd love to see Star Wars, a film that was made fucking 40 years ago. About space or some shit. I'm just not going to watch it. You know, ask someone who's really into it, like when the new film comes out, what do you think of that? They'll be like giving you the whole nerdy fucking breakdown. Whereas I would just be like, I don't know, space and shit. Fuck it. Don't care. Same with Mad Max. You know, if you're into the original and you're a big fan of fucking action movies, you review it because I'm just going to give you a shitty feedback. There's loads of shit I missed throughout my fucking childhood. Girlfriend Maureen makes me feel bad. Like, you know, like, oh, blah, blah. Do you know the bit in fucking, you know, Aladdin? And you're like, I haven't seen it. And you're like, what? What sort of childhood did you have? A fucking great one, mate. I was out playing football and doing boy shit. I wasn't sitting in watching Disney movies. Oh, you're a fucking loser. You haven't seen it. What am I going to do? Watch it now? You know? You burst in the room, I'm all nervous, like I was fucking having a wank. What are you watching? Pocahontas, mate? just watching Pocahontas over here. By myself, because I fucking missed it when I was a child. I probably talked about this in a podcast last week. I was at one of Garvey Moyne's sisters' fucking birthdays or something. Something like that, I don't know. Everyone was drinking down their house anyway. Big sound system, borrowed off someone, cranking the music up. Everyone's dancing about. This song comes on. Everyone's like, full losing their shit. Yeah, oh my God. Singing away. And I'm going to have to get the song up. And I'm standing looking around going, did I fucking like, was I in a coma for about 10 years? And this was like one of the biggest hits anyone's ever heard. And I was so confused. I was like, what the fuck's going on? Everyone's singing every word, fucking power grabs, fist pumps and all that shit. And then I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then it ramped up. And then they just went, Pokemon! Da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, what? How do you all know the fucking Pokemon theme tune? Obviously, they were all into it, but I was like, oh my god, I was made to feel completely left out like a loser there because all you fucking nerds know the words of this song. You assholes. That was like reverse nerdism, wasn't it? That was like being made to feel like shit. You know, yeah, you're being excluded because you weren't as much of a fucking nerd when you were a kid. What are you doing out playing sports? Huh? Unreal. This won't even load up now because we're in a country where the smell of shit blocks the Wi-Fi signal. Oh, God. What was it? There was something in the news. This is how the train of thought worked in our fucking house. We read that thing about it was Jim Carrey's ex-girlfriend or something, who I think might have been Irish, like, committed suicide or something. Everyone was like, oh, fuck. And we were like, oh, that's weird, because everyone worried about Jim Carrey for a long time there, didn't they? They were like, he's always a bit fucking edgy, isn't he? And like that might send him over the edge. And then the attention came back around to, oh yeah, you wouldn't want another fucking Robin Williams happening, would you? And then we're like, no, you certainly wouldn't. And then we ended up watching on Netflix a thing about Robin Williams, which was massively cheesy because it was American. But it was fucking, it's interesting. One thing I didn't realise, like, you always think Robin Williams was big and then he was just Robin Williams forever. But when you watch that thing, it was kind of like, he had this big explosion, you know, where he was really famous and like that Mork and Mindy shit or whatever. Am I even saying that? Is that what it's called? Anyway, that happened. And then it sort of dropped off for him after a while. And he's like, yeah, you go back to playing the clubs and whatever. And then it sort of dropped off. And then it ramped back up again once he did some other shit. But see, when you see like that fucking body of work, you're like, oh my God. Like the fucking, it's like, the amount of fucking shit that he put out was unreal. Am I a fan of his stand-up? I wouldn't say overly. I do appreciate his ability to fucking just improvise. That's more where his genius lies. He's not like a guy who's gonna fucking, you know, it's not like a George Carlin thing where you play these sound bites forever going, what a genius. You know, his ability to just fucking talk shit about anything was more impressive. And then he was a fucking lethal actor. It's great. It was a great show, which then led us on to the Richard Pryor one, where you're like, fuck me, like, how many of these, you know, people who just spend their whole life making other people laugh are hugely unhappy or die in a really unfair way? You're like, this is not cool at all. You know, just fucking lifelong comedians, everyone loves them. And then you get like a Richard Pryor who's just fucking wrecked. By the time he's dead, tried to kill himself, failed. Because he was, I don't know, it's pretty sad. Cool stuff to talk about with Colin. Death! Let's do some questions, guys, because that went down a fairly dark fucking road there for a second, didn't it? Huh? Unreal. Let's trash through these Twitter questions. There's about 100 questions this week. I'll just pick out the good ones. Here's a good one from Tiernan O'Reilly. Would you rather sit on a dick and eat cake or sit on a cake and eat dick? I mean, they asked this question at fucking I think of the live podcast, and Mickey was like, do you just sit on it, or does it have to go in your ass? You know? Francis Bannon. Do you remember the first stand-up gig you ever did? I do remember it very well. How did it go? It went okay. To be honest with you. Yeah, it went alright. It was in the Pavilion in Belfast, a night that still runs. Yeah, it was alright. I've told this story a million times before. The first one was alright, the second one was alright, and the third one, and by that stage I was like, mate, I'm a fucking veteran comedian now. By the time I got to the fifth one, or no, the third one, I was like, I'm sorted. Turned up at this night where I thought it was going to be on like first or second of about eight people, and they're like, no, we're going to put you on before the last guy. And it was bring your own booze, and I had about 15 beers, and it was just a nightmare. Right, next question. Mark Wilson, just listened to the podcast from last week, Learn to Fry with the Fat Lad, cooking program name. And then he did a winky face as if to be like, Learn to Fry with the Fat Lad. That doesn't really fucking roll off the tongue, mate. Matty Jezik, does Girlfriend Maureen send out the t-shirts, or do you genuinely have the most girly handwriting ever? No, that's me, mate. Girly as fuck, handwriting. It's beautiful, isn't it, though? It's better than, you know, it's rather, it's kind of, do you know what it is? It's for me trying to fucking, actually, I'm trying to make excuses for it. Yeah, write like a girl, suck my dick. You know what I mean? It's like, is there anything worse than you get that person's handwriting where it's just completely... I tell you what the worst thing is, I'd rather have the girly handwriting, or you know when you get the like grown adult, aka Aaron McCann, where his handwriting looks like a child did it with their left hand in the dark. You know? So you got the t-shirt, mate. Fair play. Take a photo of it. I always wanted people to do that, but they never seem to. I think they buy them as like a guilty pleasure and like wear them as jammies. Tweet me a photo of it, mate, and I'll put it up on something. Great stuff. Chris, where's the podcast? Was hoping to have some laughs before football training on a horrible night like that. Yeah, mate, these questions are obviously from the other day. Sorry, late. Late as fuck. Farley 010. Why is it always late? Because here's the deal, guys. I do it for the crack. Okay? And until the day I'm being sponsored to do it, where it becomes like a job, I'll do it whenever the fuck I want. I was speaking to a guy who I was having a chat with about possibly setting up like a podcast network. Now, a phenomenal idea, which I would very much like to get into. However, I don't know how many fucking podcasts there are in this bastard country. You know, Shane Todd, I was talking to him the other day, he's like, nah, I just haven't really been arsed doing it recently. And I was like, that is the fucking attitude that's going to get you nowhere. The guy that has a fucking international agent and is gigging all over the world. It's all about consistency, isn't it? I've missed the odd day. I haven't missed a week. Apart from the time I had fucking, I literally didn't have a voice. So that was the last time, is when I didn't have, when I lost my voice when I had the cold. That was fucking complete fucking Ebola chicken death. Right, let's get through these questions. Nathan Castellia. There's probably people listening to this podcast are Googling these guys' names because they're like, you know, essentially fuck. Here! Did I even tell you about fucking dailies? Oh my god. Pokemon theme tune's finally playing 6 months later. When was that? Yeah, that was last Friday. I didn't even tell you about that. Went down to Dailies Comedy Club. Right? Because I had two gigs in one night. This was unreal. Went down to Dailies. I was opening up. I didn't get round to seeing everybody. It was supposed to be me. Marcus it's either O'Leary or O'Leary. I don't know. Anyway, sort of know him via Twitter, met him. Nice guy. He was headlining. Didn't get the hang around. The guy from Hardy Bucks was supposed to be there. He pulled out because of filming fucking commitments. And was replaced by Teresa Livingstone. And people of OMA. I wouldn't worry too much about fucking the Hardy Bucks dude not being there doing stand-up. Teresa Livingstone taking the place by storm at the minute. So I just did a bit, left, did 15 minutes, went on first, left, did mainly new material. Seemed to go down okay. Oh, you should hear my refugees bit, guys. You should hear my refugees bit. It's mediocre. I'm at a weird place with the stand-up at the minute. A lot of new stuff. None of it's really... I don't even feel like I need to work on stuff till it's really sharp and like a routine anymore, because I gig that much in Belfast, I'm just like, you know what, I'm just going to write new shit and try and do new stuff all the time. Obviously, you fall back on some old bits just to fill up the time, but whatever, who gives a fuck? What am I talking about here? Oh, I go to Daly's. Then we rush to, of all places, Castle Derg. So I've got a gig in Castle Derg, which Mickey Bartlett organised with me. He's like, you still good for this gig on Friday? And I was like, mate, why have you not mentioned that to me for a month? Yeah. And then he's like, oh yeah, it's on Friday. I'm like, I'm doing Daly's. He goes, do both. So I go on first at Daly's, go to Castle Derg, which is just outside the asshole of nowhere. It's kind of like, oh, it's near Strabane, but it's also near Donegal. And it's also near, it's like, where the fuck am I? Anyhow, we rushed to that gig. I thought there was two or three people on. Mickey told me, oh, the last gig, it started at 10:30. So I wrapped up at Daly's at 10:30. I'm like, right, we'll fly from OMA to Castle Derg. I'm pretty sure they'll still be on by the time I get there. Terry McHugh, who was opening / emceeing, he fucking emails me or texts me going, oh yeah, the other comedians didn't turn up. I'm going to postpone this as long as possible, but I'm going to have to go on soon. I'll do like 30 minutes. So I'm like, fuck me. Hot pursuit to fucking Castle Derg. We get there. We go in. The last time I did Castle Derg, and I probably wouldn't have done it again had it not been Mickey who asked me to do it, because I thought maybe he was going to be there and we could, you know, go through it together, man. Turns out he's in fucking Bristol doing a gig. I'm like, you sneaky fucking lurking cunt. Unbelievable. So I go in. It was a pleasant gig. It was quite quiet and reserved, but it was pleasant compared to the riot that it was last time. However, nice bar. Nice wee bar to drink in. Not a great bar to do a comedy gig in. Here's why. If you could imagine, the room was like the size of an A4 page, right? The actual space taken up by the bar would be about the size of a fucking A5 page set in the middle of that. So you've essentially got this fucking rectangular room with a smaller rectangle inside that, which would be the bar. So essentially, the places you have to sit are like up the front on a few rows of seats, down this narrow bit between the wall and the bar, and then behind that, a bit more room beside the fire, which everyone looked like they were in a fucking coma sitting beside. You know what I mean? Let's go to the pub, drink Guinness, sit beside the fire. I would last 3 minutes before I'd be fucking drooling all down my front. But saying that, it was dead on. There's a guy in the bar. All right, mate, you look young. What age are you? 15. Great. And you're confident enough to say that out loud in a fucking bar while you're drinking bottle of Coors. Aye, they don't give a fuck. True, we're in Castle Derg. Unreal. It was alright. But there you go, there's my Castle Derg story. Not like last time where some fellow was trying to sell me and Mickey a fucking strimmer, but whatever. Let's do these questions, bitch. Michael Jardine, should I go see Roy Woods at Queen's or come see you at Lavery's on Wednesday? I know it's a bit late to answer that question, but I gotta say, like, always go and support Roy Woods or any of the people who have gigged at Lavery's who are moving up in the world. But what I would say to you is, there's no fucking way, and I'm not slagging it, but there's no way that night at Queen's would have been as good as the Day Fest at Lavery's. Just saying. Matthew Foster, if a person owns a piece of land, do they own it all the way down to the core of the earth? How many joints did you smoke when you thought of that one? Yeah, why not? What are you going to do? Fucking make use of it? You know? That's our fucking field bot there. We're sorted now for water and fucking oil and everything. I'm just going to drill down until we find some. Want to frack the life out of this fucking garden over here? Fuck me, mate. He must have been ripping bongs the whole time. Martin Ferguson, if I watch a film on subtitles, have I technically read the book? Technically not, mate. What if it's a film that doesn't have a fucking book? You know? Did you read Superbad, the book? Bill Smith, Coke or Pepsi? Coke. Although I will drink... I don't give a fuck. I'll drink fucking Tesco's Coke. I don't give a shit. Barry Wright, Cormier versus Gus. Fight talk. Fighting talk here. Alright. Cormier versus Gus. That's a UFC question for all you non-fight watchers. Yeah, I watched it. I didn't watch it. I sort of skimmed through it because I couldn't be all sitting through fucking 25 minutes. Just cause, I don't know. I feel weird with UFC recently. I feel like there hasn't been one that has popped up where I was like super hyped about it. Sometimes when you get around to watching fights, like 2 or 3 days later, you're like, whatever, I'm just going to fucking skim through this. But I did see the fight. It was pretty sweet. It didn't even look right when you see this wee short fucking black guy fighting this giant white guy, and then he actually beats him. The slam at the start was unreal. It's kind of... Your guy Gustafsson is like... unreal. He's a fucking lethal fighter, but he's just hit the ceiling of fighting all these fucking beasts. I whistled there. Did you hear that? Beasts. And it's unfortunate because he's incredible, but it's like there's these certain people that he just can't beat. John Jones, Cormier, Rumble, all these big black guys, basically. And it's just gonna be probably one of them things where, I don't know, I don't know if he's ever going to get the credit that he deserves, really, but I don't know. Not the credit, just the sort of accolades that don't know. I did see it, though. It's a good fight. I can't help but think Gustafsson going fucking numerous, countless rounds with all these fucking murderers like John Jones and all. Like, how much longer can he do that? Great fights and all that shit, like, but I mean, when you add those, the amount of fucking digs in the bake you've had. Also, Sage Northcutt looked amazing. If you're not a UFC fan, they've got some fucking cunt that looks like a fucking Ken doll fighting, and he's 19, and he's ripped to shreds, and he's all into, like, probably Pokemon and shit, Dragon Ball Z, doing backflips and all this crazy shit, and they fed him some... Here's what happens, right? The UFC has become this marketing fucking thing at the minute. Where, like, you know, it's the reason McGregor is so big. Now, I've no doubt he probably would have got to that same stage at some point, but you definitely get there quicker when you're a personality and you fucking slobber at everybody and all that shit. You know, you're definitely going to shoot up the rankings if you're beating people. This Sage Northcutt cunt was like, they met him on some show, like looking for a fight or something. You know what I mean? He's doing backflips. He does fucking karate or something. Looks great. I haven't heard him talk, but whatever. They're like, they've probably seen him and went, this cunt's the next superstar. So what they do is they feed him some fucking twat who can't do anything. Mm-hmm. Let him go in, beat the fuck clean out of him, and then they're like, oh, this cunt's amazing, and they just build a hype up around him because they think he can be popular for them. Same as fucking Paige Van Zandt, that girl. You're like, oh, just because she's a wee fucking hottie, you're like, oh, she's the best shit ever. You know, what happens when she gets her fucking head caved in by someone? She might not, I don't know, but whatever. Babysitter who had sex with 11-year-old boy gets suspended sentence. Oh. Is that it? That is from Jude Collins. I'm not even going to click that, mate, to be honest with you. I'll click it. Babysitter who had sex with 11-year-old boy. Is it a woman? I mean, people struggle to give a fuck about... Let me read this. A judge has been criticised after deciding not to imprison a 21-year-old babysitter who admitted sexual activity with the 11-year-old boy she was looking after. It was a girl. The judge gave Jade Hatt a suspended jail term for the offence committed in November 2014 when she was 20. While the boy was mature for his age and felt able to step outside normal sentencing guidelines, he said, having read everything before me, it's quite clear he was a mature 11-year-old and you were an immature 20-year-old, so that narrows the arithmetic age gap between you. The offender in this case escaped extremely lightly. And you have to wonder whether, in the same circumstances, a man would have been treated the same. Definitely not, but it's not the same, mate. Do you know what I mean? Unfortunately, it's not the same. It was during the day and the boy was off school. The defendant arrived about 11:30. Sexual intercourse took place. Unfortunately, it's not the same. You know, sometimes equality... You know, you want it in certain areas, and in other places, it's just basically impossible for it to exist. If you've got a fucking mature 11-year-old... See, I don't even know what they mean by that. Does he look like he's 15? He's got a root? You know, she's 20 and a fucking retard. And is like, oh, he's hot. And this wee man's running around with a boner. And she's like, oh, see, you've got a boner. And somehow they end up riding. And it's not some sort of fucking rape setup. Then you kind of have to go, whatever. Might be all right. What can you do? Look, I don't know, but it's without a doubt different the other way. Ross said, the judge said that Hatt, your woman, clearly doesn't operate at the level of a 20-year-old. She might be a fool. I don't know, she might be a bit fucking slow. And then this wee lad was wanting to bang her. I don't know, it's just not different. And unfortunately... It just is different, and unfortunately, when you really break it down, it's because a fucking 20-year-old man fucking an 11-year-old girl. You're like, there's not much fucking resistance gonna go on there, is there? Because of the fucking physicality of the whole setup. However, if you've got a fucking brain dead 20-year-old girl who's like, oh, I suck dicks for free. And then this wee fucking teen with a fucking... He's not even a teenager. With half a boner. Is like, yeah, I'll fucking stick in your face. What can you do, like? You know, I'm pretty sure if I was an 11-year-old boy and some woman was trying to rape me, I'm pretty sure I could just kick her off and run away. Kick her off isn't a sexual thing either. Maybe you're into that. That son just bit me in the clit. Alright, I'm going to move on here because I'm going to end up in jail... talking about this shit, and these cunts aren't even in jail. Have you ever had some freak come up wanting a picture or whatever, and it's actually freaked you out what they said? Chris Marin. It's ever freaked you out? I tell you what freaks me out. When someone goes, oh, I heard on the podcast something, and it's something really specific, and you go, and you forget that you're like, oh, yeah. This people actually listen to this fucking shit. It's things like that freak me out. But then you just get some weirdos. You get people coming up. Like, I don't know why. First of all, seeing a person that you've seen on a thing is a complete like illusion type mind fuck, because you're going, I know who they are, so they must be in some way something. Whether I don't know whether you're going, oh, they're whatever, or they're gonna be a dick because I know who they are and they don't know. Most of the time, people don't give a fuck. You know, if you come up to me, if you were to come up to me and be like, oh, I've seen your videos, mate. You know, whatever. Do you mind if I get a photo? Yeah, go ahead. But you get these people come up and they're like, there's this like bravado thing. Like, I've seen it, I don't like them and all. Let me get a photo because my fucking wee brother loves your shit and all. And then they stand beside you and you can feel them shaking with nerves. And you're like, what is wrong with you? Why do you have to be all cuntish and then you're clearly shitting yourself? The fuck's going on, you weirdo? Plus, you're going to show that photo to someone. They're going to look who that is. Who? You know, your man does the YouTube videos and they play that. Nah, I don't know. Fuck it. And they'll be like, oh, I was all embarrassed for nothing. Have I ever freaked out? There's weird shit's happened to me. I was walking along with headphones one time and this girl, it was like outside the Ulster Hall, walking along, headphones in, this girl like stops dead and points at me, this weird hippie girl. And I was like, yes. Took my headphone out a bit and she was like, oh. She's like, are you Colin Geddes? And I was like, yes. Which is weird because if she'd have went through that whole thing and stopped and went, are you Colin Geddes? Like she was going, are you Brad Pitt? You know, I'm like, yes, what do you want? I'm going to the shop here. and she did this weird thing. She went, oh, and like, she literally like stroked my arm. Like rubbed it from the wrist right up to the shoulder. Like, and then walked away. And I was like, did I just get street raped? They're talking about if that was a man or a woman type setup there. You know, I just had to go, oh, that was weird. I must wash that arm since fucking I'll... fucking hemp sandals there, rub my arm. Whereas if I just stopped some girl on the street, was like, here, are you a wee girl off thing, you know? Let me just rub you down here. Thanks. Chris Raff. What are these all like fucking... What do you appreciate more? A, someone before or after a gig asking you for an autograph... Fuck that, was it the 1970s? Asking for a photo, shaking your hand and saying, well done, great show. First of all, I'm not... That's one thing I'm not too keen on, is people be going, oh, mate, can I get a photo before the gig, you know? And you're like, well, yeah, if you want. Because you're usually in a totally different mind frame. Usually when you come off stage, there's a bit of relief if it's went well... You know, you feel good, you're a bit more bubbly. Before, it's just pure nerves. So it's like trying to get someone to do something when they're, like, super nervous. I don't know, just fucking... You know, do whatever. I'm fairly easy going. Don't ask anyone to do anything before a gig, though. For sure, just wait till after. Owen McElroy, how are you finding Snapchat? I'm using it, but I'm like, could you be fucked? Gavin Campbell, said earlier, haven't seen a single set of tits. Pink or brown, from Gavin Campbell there. What are you talking about? Nipples? Assholes? Anything, I'll take anything. 100 assholes in a bowl, like Cheerios. Paddy Fagan, oh my god, how did Kane... I thought the guy's name was Tomey. It's actually Tomey. Like T-O-W. Tomey. Shit videos get a blue tick on Facebook because the cunt has 50 billion fucking hits or something. So, there you go. Conal Devlin. Tasted many Irish craft beers. I may have, but I wouldn't... Tell you what I've tasted, that Farmageddon one. God damn it, that's amazing. Kieran Foster, Gus versus DC. Gus should have won. Don't know about that. He doesn't use his right hand hardly at all. He ran for most of the fight, and when DC had him in the clinch, he did nothing to get away. Therefore, just absorbed damage. Well, then how should he have won? Anyway, we'll move on. Fuck that. What the fuck? Right, here we go. We'll rattle these out. First of all, Stephen Hughes sent me a clip. Literally beat the shit out of him. There's a clip. It says, fighter craps all over the cage during a fight. Yeah, I've seen this clip of a... If you go onto my Facebook and you scroll down to the last time I posted the General Banter image, you can scroll down. It says, fighter craps all over himself. So there's a UFC... Not a UFC fighter. Definitely not. Just a guy at like a local MMA show loses in a fight and like shits himself and it's all falling out his trunks. And I gotta say, I'm in better shape than this fucking cunt. So if I just went like a couple of rounds and got guillotined and had a fucking bowl of chili the night before, I'd probably shit myself too. I always crack up. Did you ever watch fights or UFC and you see someone and they're like fat and you go, that's a professional athlete and they're still fat. What shape would that cunt be in if he wasn't a professional athlete? There are exceptions like Roy Nelson, who's a fucking beast. Mark Neal, why don't you put a video up of your live podcasts? Keep up the good work. I tell you what, bro. I actually have footage from the last one. It's not great quality footage, but if I sync it up with the good sound, you might get away with it. So if you go over to Lavery's Comedy Club page, Lavery's Comedy Club Belfast, everyone should do this. Give it a like. I'm going to put up some clips probably later from the live podcast. I'll not put the full thing up just because it'd be too big a video, but just put up the funny clips. So, final question, James McSorley, before we get out of here, 1 minute, 1 hour 5. I'm going to see if I can stand up out of this chair with without discs flying in my fucking back. Probably way too late. Just moved away to Spain, studying abroad, living away for the first time. Any good advice on how to get the most out of it? How to stay alive? Spain? How bad is Spain? Is it not nice? If you're going by yourself, I don't know, man. Just it's like, when you're in those sort of situations, you just have to be like a bit of a yes man. You know, like the film Yes Man with fucking Jim Carrey. You just kind of have to just, yeah, fucking just say yes to a load of shit. You know, someone's like, oh, we're going for a drink after work, or do you want to go? Yeah, sure. Do you want to go here? You know, what are you into? Do you like sports or fucking music or something? You know, get into whatever you like over there. You know, there's a fella when I was at jiu-jitsu, he was from Norway, this guy Michael, and or was he? He was Norwegian, I think. He did a bit of grappling at home, came over, was studying something, and it can happen, you know what I mean? You become sort of, you know, you get, oh, I've got my own wee flat, and I go to school, but there's so much other time outside that, where it's like, what do you do? Do you fucking... You know, I've went to school and then you end up going home and you're just like, well, what do I do now? You know, no mates or whatever. So he was like, oh, I'll do some jiu-jitsu. And then the jiu-jitsu became almost like his wee family over here, which was, I'm sure, great for him. And they all loved him. Yeah, but he would be down fucking training every day. And then, you know, they would all go out together and stuff. And it was just a thing that he found to fucking attach himself to while he was here. So just things like that. Just get into whatever you're into over here, over there. You know? Find some lads, play fucking five-a-side, go do that. Whatever. How to stay alive? Just don't do anything fucking stupid. You know? Yeah, just stay in contact with regularly with people at home, you know, get familiar voices and stuff, get your mates to fly over, you know, it's easy when you know someone who lives in a place to just get the flights and then you're sorted, you know, do all that shit, bring a Vita with you.
Feels like home with my Vader.
So there you go. That was the last question. I don't know if that was any fucking help at all. Anyway. Just eat. Spain, what are you talking about? Just eat all that food and fucking stare at all the lovely brown bums. Right, okay. I'm going to have to go here before my spine falls out of my back. Like, fucking just... I'll give you a shake, a tin of Pringles, and it's just still full of bits. That's what my spine feels like. I'm going to go here. Let me plug some gigs. Obviously, we missed Lavery's. I'm doing an Oktoberfest gig in St. Columb's Hall in Derry on the 15th of October. That's next Thursday. It could be rowdy as shit, but at least there'll be drink. So get yourselves along to that if you're in Derry. It should be interesting. Drink big beers, listen to me talk about my dick. So that's what we have coming up. Lavery's Comedy Club returns on the 21st of motherfucking October. We haven't got a headliner yet, I'll let you know. But it's the best place to go see comedy. Mickey said that the other night when he was signing off. He's like, by the way, if this is your first time, he's like, this is the place to come see comedy. He's like, all the other places are good, but there's something about Lavery's where it just feels more fun. So, get yourselves along to that. I'm going to go colinguest.com as usual if you want some teas. Should I make a podcast t-shirt? Probably, but I'm lazy. And I'll speak to you as fucking next time. Respect!